भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 7 कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 7 एंटाइटल्ड Lord Krishna instructs Uddhav. Text number 43. Tejo panna mahir bhavair megha dyairvayu neritai न स्पृश्यते नभस्तद्वत् काल सृष्टैर् गुणैः पुमान् तेजो बन्न मयिर्भावैर् मेघाद्यैर्वायुनेरितैः न स्पृश्यते नभस्तद्वत् कालसृष्टैर्गुणैपुमान् तेजोपन्नमैर्भावैर् मेघाद्यैर्वायुनेरितैः न स्पृश्यते नभस्तद्वत् कालसृष्टैर्गुणैः पुमान्। तेजः फायर अप वाटर अन्न एंड अर्थ मयेह कंसिस्टिंग ऑफ भावे बाय ऑब्जेक्ट्स मेघ आदयः क्लाउड्स एंड सो ऑन वायुना बाय द विंड ईरितये विच आर ब्लोन न स्पृश्यते इज नॉट टच्ड नभः द इथीरियल स्काई तत्वत इन द सेम वे काल सृष्टहे विच हैव बीन सेंट फोर्थ बाय टाइम गुणहे बाय द मोड्स ऑफ नेचर पुमान अ पर्सन। Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: Although the mighty wind blows clouds and storms across the sky is never implicated or affected by these activities. Similarly, the spirit soul is not actually changed or affected by contact with the material nature. Although the living entity enters within a body made of earth, water, and fire, and although he is impelled by the three modes of nature created by eternal time, his eternal spiritual nature is never actually affected. Purport. Although the sky appears to be affected by the mighty movements of wind, rain, hurricanes, lightning and thunder, etc., the sky, being very subtle, is actually not affected, but is rather the background for such visible activities. Similarly, although the material body and mind undergo innumerable changes such as birth and death, happiness and distress, love and hate, the eternal living entity is merely the background for such activities. The spirit soul, being most subtle, is not actually affected. Only due to misidentification with the superficial activities of the body and mind does the soul undergo terrible distress within the material world. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya has pointed out that the individual living entity must struggle to revive his divine spiritual qualities. The individual living entity must struggle to revive his divine spiritual qualities. The living entity is part and parcel of the supreme entity called Krishna. And as such, the individual soul is also a reservoir of good godly qualities. The personality of Godhead, however, automatically manifests these qualities without any hindrance, whereas the conditioned soul must struggle to revive such qualities. Thus, although both the personality of Godhead and the personality of the living entity are eternal and transcendental, the personality of Godhead is always supreme. By realizing all this with clear intelligence, the conditioned soul can rise to the spiritual platform. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। I seek blessings of all senior devotees present before attempting to start something on this wonderful verse from Canto 11. Krishna instructs Uddhav, and the example is given of the sky, the wind in the sky. Although the mighty wind blows clouds and storms across the sky is never implicated or affected by these activities. Similarly, the spirit soul is not actually changed or affected by contact with material nature. I was watching a video yesterday on somebody's laptop. This is one student who came, and he was showing me, there is a video by one of the very famous motivational speakers. And in the video, this man is asking question to a group of 30 people. 30, 35 people must be sitting there. And he's asking, how many times this has happened in your life that some problem happened and it just, you just can't rid of it. You just can't get rid of it. You just keep thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking about it, and feel too distressed by it. And who in material world would not raise a hand? But of course, some people get affected by the problem, but then they forget it. But some people get affected for a longer time. Especially the more emotional instability is coming up, tendency for us to get affected in this world is much more. So this man is asking a question, how many of you get affected? So everybody raises the hand. Then he says, it was an hour video, I just saw first 15 minutes or 10 minutes something. And then he helps them to analyze that where the problem is. He said, when something hurts you, something pains you, what pains? Does your eye pains? So naturally, our eyes doesn't pain. When something hurts, somebody insults us maybe, or something bad happens to us. Unless eye is injured, that's different. But otherwise, eye doesn't hurt. Then he asks, does your hand hurts? Definitely not, the hand hurts. Typical way, the way we analyze body and soul. Of course, he doesn't believe in the soul. That's what it appeared from that 15 minutes of video. And he says, what hurts? Your neck hurts? Definitely not, the neck hurts. Then what hurts? Your belly hurts? No. Your leg hurts? No. What hurts actually? So people were wondering, yeah, what hurts? He said, if in the whole body there is not even a single part of the body which hurts, then what is it that causes pain to you? Then somebody said, now since this fellow may not be having some knowledge of Gita, somebody said, what about the mind? Mind hurts. A nice analysis he's doing. He says, where is mind? Mind is in your brain. Open your brain. He tells very sarcastically. Open your brain. Is the mind in the brain? Because here the concept is not getting affected by the activities of this world. The word hurt, mind. He said, cut open your brain. Is it there? And then he was telling, you may take to some temporary relief like chanting Om or going to a temple. That's how he says. Like going to a temple, you may get a temporary relief. Then somebody brings out the point of God. He said, God, do not talk about God. How can God be a person? If we all are person, how can God be a person? That's different. If we all are person, how can God be a person? If we all get affected by things, how can that something you call as God be a person? Forget God. Whatever the video is. But the point is, initial part of the analysis was in one sense appearing to be very beautiful. What actually hurts? When some happiness or distress, some good event we see, what? Do the eyes feel happy? Do the ears? What exactly is the one which is enjoying the pleasure? So he says, although mighty wind blows clouds and storms across the sky, sky is never implicated or affected. Now, if you take this thing, then let us take a series of verses and a series of some shastric examples pointing out at this fact, not to being get affected. Some of the last 10-15 days, I didn't hear what was spoken here in the class. Mostly I was out. So maybe some of these topics must be touched in the past. But, so what actually gets affected. Now, Srila Narad Muni, when he is speaking how his life changed after serving the Bhakti Vedantas, what exactly happened? He says, I served them, I took their Mahaprasad, I heard from them, I listened attentively, and what happened? Over the period of my contemplations, over the period of my absorptions, one of the things which he clearly mentions, I realized that I have nothing to do with the gross and the subtle body. Very interesting. I have nothing to do with the gross and the subtle self. And he says, I am different, and I and the super soul, both are transcendental. That's the realization I got. And in fact, that's kind of a sign of maturity when somebody can see material world happenings are different and I am different. That is the thing which gives a pacification or solace to the soul, to the living entity. And pointing out to this thing that how I am different, I and super soul both are transcendental, and gross and subtle body have nothing to do with myself. That's what this is telling. Spirit soul is not actually changed or affected by contact with material nature. In a conversation with Sri Maitreya Muni and Vidura, it comes up. Maitreya Rishi compares the miseries of this world. He said it's like in a dream, Prabhupada writes in the purport. It's like a child is scared. Your head will be cut off and you are seeing your head cut off in front of you. Or in a dream you see your own head cut off. Very scary. But then the most beautiful part in this statement is a dream. In dream, we are watching the head cut off and then it's causing scare, but then it's a dream, it's not a reality. Then another example he gives. He said, like moon is reflected and the reflection of moon is in the water and the water is trembling. And because of identification with water, the moon is also trembling. So similarly, because of our reflection in material nature, our identification with gross and subtle body, the living entity is also trembling, become fearful. That's why fear is one of the very important symptoms which comes out as soon as identification with material nature takes place. Because material nature is always changing. As we hear, change is the only thing which is constant. I was reading one book on leadership, 25 qualities of leadership. And this book says that a leader means who learns how to adapt to the change. And he says leader must learn how to adapt to the change because leader is the one who causes most changes in people's life. That's interesting. Leader is the one who introduces all the time changes and scares everyone by changes. So leader should also understand how to live with changes of time. Otherwise, there is trembling. Moon identifying with the water, there is trembling. Let's take one verse from Bhagavad Gita, each chapter, and see how it is telling us how there is one has to understand this example of not getting affected by material world. This one verse, most of the chapters, let's see. Let's see second chapter. Second chapter says, Matra sparshas tu kaunteya sheet ushana sukhadhava. Right in the at the beginning of Krishna's teaching, in the third verse only. 2.11 he starts and 12 and 13. And 13 and 14 he says. Look, in material world, you have to learn the art of tolerance. Otherwise, you will always remain miserable because this world is going to keep changing. Sheet, ushana, sukha, dukha. This change is going to become constant. It's going to remain constant. Then he says in 2.71. Or 70. He says, Apurya manam achala pratishtam samudramapa pravishanti yadvat. Tadvat kama yam pravishanti sarve. A person who is not disturbed by incessant flow of desires. One of the first time this strike me the most actually in Baldev Prabhu's class one time I heard. I mean, it's like you hear all the time, but sometimes some class you hear and it just, okay, wow, this is powerful. the nature of mind always creating desires, and desire just is flowing in and flowing in and flowing in, and it just keeps you all the time disturbed. Sometimes positive things, sometimes negative things. But the day one understands this is the nature of mind, one has to live with it. One has to live with it. That's the sign of maturity. Okay, no, you can't avoid it. This is a part, this is something which you have got, and you have to live with it. Is not disturbed by incessant flow of desires. Today morning I was coming from Mira Road in the train, and in train, I mean, those days were so peaceful when in the train there were no those loud advertisements. And now all the time, previously they started that Badshah Masala, you know, right? And now they started with some app, 100% safe, cashback. I mean, I have no idea what that is, but something they started. And then third, they started, जो खिड़की पे हैं, उनको अंदर आने की, sorry, जो दरवाजे पे हैं, उनको अंदर आने की इच्छा है, जो अंदर हैं, उनको बैठने की इच्छा है, जो बैठे हैं, उनको खिड़की पे जाने की इच्छा है, और जो खिड़की पे हैं, उनको बाहर जाने की इच्छा है. तो आपको हमेशा ऊपर उठने की इच्छा है. This is the head which it goes. आपको हमेशा ऊपर उठने की इच्छा है. Then they talk about, I don't know what, some housing loans or something. I could not get, and they speak, I mean, I could hardly get what they are saying. I was wondering what is the value of that advertisement. You can hardly understand except the joke part. But the point is, always they are bombarding you with so many desires and so many desires. And I'm not sure other people are enjoying or not, but it's a misery in the train, you know, all the time. But that's the time you are peaceful. You don't want to hear anything. And then they continuously. He says, incessant flow of desires enters like rivers into the ocean. And the ocean is ever being, which is ever being filled, but is always still. More and more water is coming, but it is still. There is a peace. Such a man can alone achieve peace. Not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. In the third chapter, evam buddhe param buddhva sthamstabhyatmanam atmana Jai Shatrum Mahabaho Kama Rupam Durasadam. Thus knowing oneself to be transcendental to material senses. Again Krishna brings out this point. That please understand how you are transcendental. Do not take this material world too seriously. You are transcendental to what your senses observe. Guides us to be aloof. Therefore, one should steady the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence. So, buddhi ka prayog hai. What is the buddhi ka prayog? What is the use of intelligence? Steady the mind by a higher transcendental understanding. So, it makes one peaceful. It makes one satisfied. In the fourth chapter, this is 4.19, which says, yes, I mean, there are many verses. I'm just picking one sample that how much Krishna is appealing to us that, look, what is transcendence? Yasya sarve samarambha kama sankalpa varjita. I'm just reading the translation. One is understood to be in full knowledge, whose every endeavor is devoid of sense gratification. Which means, his inspirations do not come from this world. And anybody who gets inspirations from this world to be very ambitious or to become morose always remains suffering. Therefore, if any success makes you too happy, welcome. The misery is awaiting. The more excited you are, the more misery is awaiting. Right? Like how much, you have a good food, you have pani puri, you have patties. Then that excites you. Oh, it's so good. And too much excitement means too much overeating. And too much overeating, thank you very much. Tomorrow morning, wait. So, something like that. Too much excitement, too much misery, always. If not tomorrow morning, okay, after a few years, just wait. You know, age is going to show what all you ate. All the blood tests are going to show what all you ate. So, yasya sarve samarambha kama sankalpa. One who is too excited by the success also has to suffer when the misery comes. this one guy I met just 2 weeks back, and he was telling a long, miserable tale of his family life. And then he only mentioned, he said, Prabhuji, you know, on the day of marriage, I was so excited. But I didn't know what I am getting into. He said, the more excited, the more misery. I was so excited. And for 1 hour on telephone, he kept on telling me and telling me and telling me and telling me long details of what's happening with two different sets of material modes. And I said, you are feeling like this, your wife might be feeling the same thing to you. So he says, the more excited. So kama sankalpa, one whose endeavors are free from desires of sense gratification, such a person is said to be in full knowledge. Okay, the next one. Fifth chapter. Guess which verse I am going to take. Fifth chapter. Let's play a quiz side by side. Fifth chapter. Huh? Sorry? Yeah, many are there. Let's take 5.10 right now. You know, 5.10, which is Brahmani Adhaya Karmani Sangam Tyaktva Karotiya. Again, there is a appeal. Please Tyaktva, give up attachment to Sangam, the connection to this material world. Sangam Tyaktva Karotiya. Kaam karta hai, he works in the world, but with his attachment to Brahmani Adhaya Karmani. To the superior nature, and he is not too affected by the lower nature. But one is too absorbed in the material world, then he gets affected. So he says, Brahmani Adhaya, make a connection with the superior nature. I'll read the translation. One who performs his duty without attachment to success or failure, happiness or distress, as this purport talks about, the current Bhagavatam purport, surrendering the results unto the Supreme Lord, is unaffected by a sinful action as a lotus leaf is untouched by water. Sixth chapter, guess which one? Side by side, let's create some intellectual stimulation. Sixth chapter, which verse? Yeah, Satyanand Prabhu, which verse? You are saying something, no? Huh? I can't hear any of you. Anyway, let me take what I want to speak. So, yatha deepa nivatastho na ingate sa upamasprita yogina yata chittasya yunjato yogamatmano. Now, this also talks about wind. Now, previous, which when we are talking wind in the sky, but here is talking like the wind doesn't affect the sky. Here, a lamp in a windless place does not waver. So the transcendentalist whose mind is controlled remains steady in meditation on transcendental self. The lamp is in a windless place, but we are not in a windless place. We are in material world, which is full of most turbulent winds. And sometimes winds are really heavy. And sometimes they elevate us, sometimes they throw us. He says, as a lamp in a windless place does not waver, so the transcendentalist whose mind is controlled remains always steady in meditation on the transcendental self. There is one section which comes in Bhagavatam, since this is talking about the yogi. There is one section which comes about the Diti and Kashyap. Yeah, it says, this is from Canto 3, Chapter 14, text number 11 onwards. Pregnancy of Diti in the evening. Where Diti is appealing. O learned one, Cupid is taking his arrows and distressing me forcibly, as a mad elephant troubles a banana tree. So as it is lamp in the windless place does not waver. Let us see what happens in this. How this material world is always trying to disturb every living entity. Therefore you should be kind towards me by showing me complete mercy. I desire to have sons, and I am much distressed by seeing the opulences of my co-wives. Diti is telling this. By performing this act, you will become happy. A woman is honored in the world by benediction of her husband, and a husband like you will become famous by having children because you are meant for the expansion of living entities. O lotus-eyed one, kindly bless me by fulfilling my desire. When somebody in distress approaches a great person, his pleas should never go in vain. Diti knew well that her request might be rejected because of untimely situation when she is approaching Kashyap. But she pleaded that when there is an emergency or distressful condition, there is no consideration of time or situation. O hero, Diti, being thus afflicted by contamination of lust, therefore poor and talkative, was pacified by sons of Marichi in suitable words. I shall gratify whatever desire is dear to you, for what else but you is the source of three perfections of liberation. So here we see how Kashyap is so, gets disturbed and or whatever in the this thing. Diti is disturbed. Then we have in 7th chapter, again there is an appeal from Lord Krishna, which is 7, I'll take 7.30 here. There many here, again 7.14 we can take, let's take 7.30. Sa adibhuta adidaivam mam sa adiyagyam cha ye vidu. Prayana kale api chamam te vidur yukta chetasa. Now the whole concept which is raised is, how I am going to remember you at the time of death? Or how a living entity can take shelter at time of death? So he says, those in full consciousness of me, who know me to be adhibhuta, adhidaiva and adhiyagya, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality, even at the time of death. They do not become wavered. They do not become distracted. And you see Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj example with deer, if you see. Now here he is telling adhibhuta, adhidaiva and adhiyagya. One who considers Lord and identifies with Lord as a supreme source, as the ultimate wealth. He doesn't waver. His intelligence doesn't waver. Now Bharat Maharaj, when he is long time in the forest and the deer finally gets attached to the deer and the deer is missing, that beautiful pastime, he is looking at the earth and he is looking at the beautiful small footprints, lotus footprints. I don't know, should I call lotus footprints or not? But the footprints for him became like lotus footprints. Deer is missing, and Bharat Maharaj, after long, long practice of sadhana, finally got trapped in and attached to the deer, and he is touching the surface of the earth, and he is telling, praising earth, how fortunate you are, that you have the touch of the most auspicious living entity, the deer. And similar pastime is done by the gopis, where they are touching. Similar pastime is appreciated in the first canto also, where earth is being appreciated. For what? For having the lotus footprints of Sri Krishna. Now for Bharat Maharaj, lotus footprints or footprints of deer has become like lotus footprints of Krishna. Because he has lost adibhuta, adideva, adiyagya. What is, who is adibhuta, adiyagya? For him, deer is adibhuta, adiyagya, adideva. He is telling, please understand, Lord is the governing principle of all material manifestations. If any spark of beauty anywhere, that spark is coming from Krishna. So one doesn't get, you know, another pastime, Shuklambar Brahmachari. So this is beautifully told in Gaurlila, that he is going around begging. He's poor man. He's going around begging, and Lord Chaitanya is so eager to taste his rice. He's broken, old, not so good quality, absolutely not cooked rice. He just takes and eats it. And then, the whole story shows how Shuklambar Brahmachari is so poor.
And how nobody could even think that he can be one of the confidential, intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya. You know, imagine like we go to Harinam and some random guy just walks out of the street and joins us. And absolutely in a bad shape. No, you can't think, I mean, this can be confidential associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, Shuklamar Brahmachari is looking so ordinary. But the point is, I was giving this class somewhere and one devotee raised his hand and he said, now, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that, do you remember you also came in Dwarka as a poor Brahman? Do you remember that time also you fed me rice? And do you remember Rukmini ji personally served you? So, I was giving this past life connection and this devotee says, Prabhu ji, kya fayda hua bhakti karne ka? Pichle janam mein bhi gareeb, is janam mein bhi gareeb. In the past life also poor, this life also poor. What is the point of doing bhakti? You got it. Somebody got it whom it was. He said, last time also poor, this time also poor. What is the point of doing bhakti? But I said, your hearing is so perfect. You know why? Because Vrindavan Dasagur also, after telling this pastime, he brings out this statement. He said, you must be wondering, how can a devotee of Lakshmi Pati, who is the Pati of Lakshmi ji, his devotee can be roaming on the street like a beggar? I mean, you know, when somebody really gets a point which is addressed in the next shloka, that's appreciative. I mean, he's really into the mood of the story. And then he said, the next verse, he says, see, there are two chapters, you know, Shukla, I mean, this is detailed, his eating rice is described. And there he says, something to the effect that such are the glories of Lord Chaitanya's devotees, that you can understand what opulence they are enjoying. So the outside person will think, hey, which opulence they are enjoying. But one who has understood Krishna as the Adhibhuta, Adhidaiva, Adhiyagya, for him that's the opulence. For him no other honor, dishonor, happiness, distress affects him. For him that's the opulence. And therefore, somebody who has understood Krishna's greatness will never be affected by any small, silly, materialistic happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, will not, to the degree we have got. Absorb that. Look at the 9th chapter or 8th chapter. We will take 8th chapter later on. 9th chapter. 9.4 to 9.10. This whole maya tatam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. Lord says a series of verses that everything is dependent on me, still I am aloof. Udasina, I am sitting neutral. When we land up in this material world, we can't say everything depends on me, still I am aloof. Everything falls apart if I am aloof. But still Krishna is telling, look, when you work in this world, work this world like you are playing a game. You are serious about winning every ball. But still, you know, it's a game. At the end, you don't go and murder people, you know. You don't take it so seriously. Of course, nowadays it happens. That's stupidity. Then the game becomes like a stressful thing. Lord says, just see how I am playing, similarly you play. In Canto 3, it says, Lord is independent and desireless. So Prabhupada explains. He says, the Lord does not create household affairs because he desires it. Lord does not create cosmos because he desires for his satisfaction, like we create household affairs. Like this man, he was telling, he bought a brand new Innova car. How much an Innova would cost? 15 lakh? 12 lakh something? I don't know. Innova. He got a very good, latest model of Innova car. And he said, he coming with big pride, and okay, Innova car, it was looking so good. And he came safe on the road also. He parked below the building. And he was going around with the key, you know, new Innova car has come. And he went up. And on the 19th floor, there is a gym. And from the gym, some guy was doing the weights at the window. And that big heavy weight right fell down on the car's roof. And this man thought, kisi ki gaadi toot gayi, kya farak padta hai? Then somebody woke him up, my dear sir, this is your car. This is also interesting. Kisi aur ki gaadi, somebody's car, no problem. Fine, who cares? No identification. But the moment, I mean, in fact, because I know this guy, I felt so sad. Because next day I was going to get a ride in that Innova car. So there is an identification. So this thing fell, and then Lord Krishna says, you know, you play in this world, but still. So Lord Krishna creates cosmos. He doesn't get attached to this cosmos. When we create a household affair, I mean, we get affected. And that's where 9th chapter, 9.4 to 9.10. He's telling, Maya Dhyakshena Prakriti, everything is under my direction, still I am Udasina. And this a living entity can't understand. Till he really reaches the maturity of Krishna consciousness. And that's what gives somebody security. That's why an advanced devotee means fearless, secure. Always secure. His disturbance is another level. We will discuss that if time allows. Okay. Then, let's go to 10th chapter. How many chapters we covered till now? Yes, I was testing you. 8 chapters. We missed out 8th chapter till now. We covered 1 to 9. Okay. 10th chapter now, if you see. 10th chapter, there are few verses. There is one verse which comes, 10.3. Yo mam ajam anadim cha. Please recite. Veti loka maheshwaram asamudha samartyeshu sarva papaye pramuchyate. Yo mam ajam anadim cha. One who considers me as unborn, beginningless, as supreme lord of all the worlds. Asamuda. The word used is he remains undeluded because his knowledge has matured on the understanding of his sambandha tattva. So he is undeluded among men. Asamuda. He doesn't get bewildered. Now, in a conversation where Lord Krishna is talking about the qualities of Uddhavji. Why I am telling, because this is about Uddhav. Now, see, if you remember Uddhav, he's telling why I am appointing Uddhav as my representative. Why I am appointing Uddhav as my representative? Because he will not be affected by three modes of material. He is not affected by the three modes. He will not be bewildered after my disappearance. And then Prabhupada gives a very beautiful purport in that section. He says, Uddhavji was beyond the three modes. He says the specific qualification to become representative of the Lord. If somebody claims to be represented, this is beautiful. You know, we as preaching, a preacher may not be preaching in the mood of representative. He is preaching for his purification. But he's telling, the true representative has to be free from the effect of three modes. And then he says, he should not be affected by material strength, material intelligence, and renunciation. Such a person should be beyond the effects of material strength, intelligence, and renunciation. And then he says, anybody who can tolerate the onslaughts of material nature is qualified to enter into the deeper mysteries of confidential subject matter. So anybody who can handle the onslaughts of material nature. That's why sometimes in institutions somebody is given a responsible post after observing, okay, you know how much you could. Even a basic initiation, you know, we see, okay, how many years you could handle the onslaughts and still remain fixed on your sadhana. So anybody who can handle the onslaughts can penetrate the deeper mysteries of confidential science. He remains undeluded. So this is the point. He who knows me as the unborn, beginningless, supreme lord of all the worlds, he only, undeluded among men, is freed from all sins. So Krishna is appealing that please develop more and more knowledge about Supreme Personality. Develop more and more deeper connection with Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then we have 11th verse, 11th chapter. Where he is telling, Nimitta Matram Bhava Savyasachi. Now please act on my behalf as my instrument. Time is less. I'll just go to few important verses. 13th chapter. 13th chapter also, there are two verses which talks about a similar example of sky and wind, which says 13.33 and 34. Please recite. Yatha sarvagatam sokshmyat akasham na upalipyate sarvatravasthito dehe tathatmana upalipyate. The sky, due to its subtle nature, does not mix with anything, although it is all-pervading. Similarly, the soul situated in Brahma, vision, does not mix with the body, though situated in the body. Srila Prabhupada writes, the air enters water, mud and stool, and whatever else is there. The air enters water, mud and stool and whatever else is there, still it does not mix with anything. Similarly, the living entity, even though situated in varieties of bodies, is aloof from them due to its subtle nature. Therefore, it is impossible to see with the material eyes how the living entity is in contact with this body and how he is out of it after the destruction of this body. No one in science can ascertain this. And the biggest example of being aloof is Srivas Thakur's dead son. That's like absolutely inconceivable, unbelievable. But how his son has died and he's aloof. And the Chaitanya Bhagavat says, when Srivas Thakur goes inside the house, sees the son is dead, he comes out and Lord Chaitanya is dancing. Not that he stands in front of Lord Chaitanya with a sunken face. And Lord Chaitanya is going to look at his face. What happened to you? It is clearly mentioned when he came out, he's smiling, he's in bliss. As if nothing at all happened, as equally smiling as it was before seeing the death of the son. That's really like aloof from this material world. One who has understood his connection with the Supreme Lord. There can be nothing more aloof than this. And therefore Lord Chaitanya says Srivas Thakur has so much love for him, he's fully bound with him in affection. That time Lord Chaitanya says this statement. He says, how will I be able to leave such devotees? That is the time he makes his prediction for sannyas by making this statement very, very softly. How will I be able to leave these devotees? And that is the time devotees are wondering, where does he want to leave? Where does he want to go? Or they understand he's going to take sannyas. And that is the time the devotees who were like lamp in a windless place, who could not be wavered by the death of the sun, they get completely wavered. That is the time all their emotions go out of control. That is something which can really shake the whole Navadvip. When Lord Chaitanya declares, I am going to leave. That is the time Nityanand Prabhu, who was dancing jubilant in his own world, absolutely stunned in ecstasy, not noticing what's happening, rolling on the ground. Lord Chaitanya had tough time controlling his dance. He is the one who is just crying and crying and he cannot express himself. That is the time Gadadhar Pandit becomes silent. That is the time Mukunda becomes silent. That Mukunda who was dancing, that I will be able to see Lord Chaitanya after 10,000 or whatever number of years, that is the time he got affected. And then all three had one thought, what will happen to your mother, Mother Sachi? Who has seen the... Now, what things affected her? She has seen the death of 8 daughters, right? She has seen how her elder son left home and took sannyas one day when they were planning for his marriage, and without telling, he just walked out. And that is the time they are thinking what Sachi Mata will go through, because Sachi Mata has seen Jagannath Mishra getting horrifying dreams that Nimai will take sannyas. Because when Vishwarup left, Jagannath Mishra, he said, I can handle anything, but Nimai taking sannyas? He said, my life years work by seeing the beautiful face of Nimai Pandit. Shastras are talking so much about being equilibrium, maintaining equilibrium status, being, and now they show another extreme. And somehow this news has to be kept secret. More devotees should not come to know, because the whole Navadvip. And before that, when Nityanand Prabhu took sannyas, not sannyas, but Nityanand Prabhu was taken away by that sannyasi, it is mentioned the whole Ekachakra become vacant. First their mother and father left the body, and then practically everybody was dying. Nobody was ready to live in Ekachakra. What kind of, and that is highlighted. Look at this emotion, attachment to the Lord, attachment to the spiritual master. So there we are not talking, remain like a lamp in a windless place. That's maybe for those who talk about Krishna is not a person. And Lord Chaitanya himself getting agitated when he's talking to Murari Gupta. What does he say? He's talking to Murari Gupta and he's having very nice devotional talks. In the middle he says, That Prakashananda, in his body there is leprosy. And he's wondering, who is this? What happened? What are you talking about? And he said, because he is cutting my body to pieces. He doesn't accept the abode, my form, my leela, my devotees as eternal. So on one side that Krishna is talking about being samatva, equilibrium, not being affected by the modes. On one side he is getting agitated. And he's so happy. He's getting agitated by Prakashananda, who says Lord's form is, who is telling whatever may happen, remain equipoised. He doesn't believe in the form of the Lord. He doesn't believe in the spiritual emotions. He doesn't believe in the spiritual turmoil. So we see, 9:15, yeah. But, okay, last one section I'll cover. So on one side we have this verses talking about do not get affected by the material turmoil. Like a sky doesn't get affected by the wind. We had example of river. We had example of sky and the wind. We had so many examples in between. On one side we have the height of spiritual emotions shown in different literatures on Gaur Leela and Krishna Leela. But then what about us? We know that we should not get affected, but we do get affected. We know we should not be under the modes, but we again and again, time again, come under the modes. There is one section which comes in Dhruv Maharaj pastime, which comes in chapter number 10. This is Dhruv Maharaj's fight with Yakshas. And there he says, yeah. Dhruv Maharaj fighting with Yaksha got so disturbed. Now Dhruv Maharaj is a devotee. He has seen Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what all does he see? Now he sees Yakshas showering all kind of... which is that verse? One second. I'm sorry, one second, yeah. Yes, here. Yeah, this is beautiful. Now look at this, just four or five small verses. Dhruv Maharaj, the best of human beings, observed that in that great battlefield, not one of the opposing soldiers was left. Yakshas are fighting and he felt, wow, I'm winning all, it's all mine. But then he thought, no one knows the plans of mystic Yakshas. Just like no one knows the tricks of material illusory energy. Everything seems to be going smooth, but then suddenly you get a turmoil. In the meantime, Dhruva Maharaj was doubtful about the mystic enemies. And within a moment, what did he see? The whole sky was overcast with dense clouds. Very scary. Severe thundering was heard. There was glittering electric lightning and severe rainfall. Suddenly everything was beautiful. He was just winning and winning and winning. And suddenly he saw all this coming up. There was blood being showered. There was mucus. There was pus, stool, urine and marrow falling heavily before Dhruva Maharaj. And not only that, there were trunks of bodies falling. That's too much. Trunks of bodies falling. I was sharing with someone in one of the past years. In 1 year, I had to attend 5 cremation programs, cremation ceremonies. And it was just too much. And no, I can't attend. This is too much. Here, showers of trunks of bodies falling from the sky. Next, a great mountain was visible in the sky, and from all directions, hailstones fell along with lances, clubs, swords, iron bludgeons, and great pieces of stone. And many big serpents with angry eyes were vomiting forth fire and coming to devour him, along with mad elephants, lions, and tigers. When all this illusory thing was happening, now this is the last line. When the great sages heard that Dhruva Maharaj was overpowered by the illusory mystic tricks of the demons. Sometimes we get overpowered by the illusory energies. How many of you have experienced getting overpowered? In spite of practicing sadhana here. He said, overpowered by the illusory mystic tricks of demons, they immediately assembled to offer him auspicious encouragement. We need encouragement sometimes of each other. In spite of giving lectures on Vyasasana, we need encouragement. And then what? All the sages said, dear Dhruva, O son of King Uttanapad, may the supreme personality of Godhead, Sharangadhanva, kill all your threatening enemies. And then he reminded, please recite after with me. The holy name of the Lord is as powerful as the Lord himself. Therefore, simply by chanting and hearing the holy names of the Lord, many men and women can, it's not written here, can be fully protected from fierce death without difficulty. Thus a devotee is saved. Holy name ki jai. Shri Hari Naam Sankirtan ki jai. Hare Krishna. Any comments from the senior Vaishnavas? Anything? Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.